Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello, and welcome to the second attempt at recording Co-Opticast episode 55. I'm your host, Mike Katsifrakis. I am joined, as always, by the indomitable Nick Paleo. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing indomitably.
I don't think you know what that word means.
I really don't.
Okay.
I know what abominable means.
Well, you can be that.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's Sunday, November 21st, 2010, and we are here to talk about the latest and greatest co-op news. But first, we will be like every gaming podcast on the planet and talk about what we've been playing. So, Nick, why don't you lead us off?
I've been playing quite a few things. The first was somewhat of a pickup I didn't plan on getting was Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And that was one of the games I was just going to wait until it dropped in price or whatever.
Right.
But I read the Penny Arcade news post about how the multiplayer worked, and it just sounded really intriguing to me. So I basically picked it up for the multiplayer right now. And I played quite a few matches.
Have you beaten Assassin's Creed 2 yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just have no desire to play the single player right now. It just... Assassin's Creed 2, you know, I think we both put like 30 hours into it. You even put more. You were pretty addicted to it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just have no desire for the single player right now. But the multiplayer is a lot of fun, and it's every bit... It's every bit as cool as the Penny Arcade article makes it sound. So I played maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 matches. The problem I was having was actually finding people to play, which is kind of why I picked it up now, because I figured the people playing would be higher. But it would take me 4 or 5 minutes to get a match going.
Yeah, it's been a little dodgy. I think part of it is because it came out so close to Black Ops that the people who are really big into playing multiplayer are probably all hitting that up at the moment.
So I haven't done... I guess there's a team mode in it. I haven't done that yet, but the main mode, how it works in multiplayer, is you pick a character to be, and then you're dropped into this environment, and there's like clones of your character walking around, and you're given a target... And you see what that person looks like, and you'll see them around, and you kind of get a radar and stuff like that. And so you know you're getting close to them, but you might not know exactly which one it is, because there might be a couple clones of that person in that area. So that person that's the target has to do their best to act like an AI person, basically. So there's that. And then, of course, at any time, you're a target, so you have to keep an eye out for someone that looks like they're coming to get you. And if you're doing better, you're doing well in the match, you might have 2 or more people after you.
Right.
So it's very satisfying. It looks a lot, it plays a lot like there's a game coming out called Spy Party from an independent developer. It's from the, and basically the idea of that is the same thing. Except it's a 2-player versus game. Somebody's a sniper, and then somebody is a person in a party, a mixing kind of a party or whatever you want to call it. And the person that's in the party has to do some kind of task. Like, they might have to take a book off a bookshelf. Or it's something stupid, but the idea is that person has to do it subtly enough that the sniper doesn't know that they're the actual person that they're supposed to kill. So it plays kind of like that concept. Like I said, it's a lot of fun. It's just fun. I have more fun, like, trying to fake out the people than I do actually trying to go after my target. Like, I just love sitting on a bench with, like, 2 of my other clones, and then watching the watching the guy come up and stab one of the clones, and then immediately getting up and stabbing them right away. Like,
yeah.
It's very satisfying. So, definitely give that a shot if you haven't seen anything about it. It's very unique, very different. What else? I started playing through Enslaved. I remember when you were up here a couple weeks ago for Coop's wedding, we had started that kind of, and
we were kind of passing the controller after every few levels or whatever.
Yeah, so I managed to pick it up for $5. So I had some.
What did you do? Blow a bunch of Amazon credit?
Well, it was a gold box deal today for $25, and then I had $20 in credit from Black Ops. So yeah, I got it for $5. And,
not bad.
Yeah. I was waiting for it to actually drop to 30 to pick it up, and it dropped to 25. I would have had it at that, but then with the credit, it was a no-brainer. So I'm really liking that. It's a gorgeous game, and some of the environments and stuff are just jaw-dropping. I mean, really, really nice. So I think I'm on chapter 4 or 5 now. So I'm liking that. What else? StarCraft 2.
I see the StarCraft 2 on this list.
I think I have one mission to go. I finished 3 missions today.
Okay, what did you just do?
I just did the prison. I sided with the ghosts, so I did that. I just did the broadcast thing at the UTV station or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And what's the other one? There was like 3 in that grouping. So that's what I did, though.
So you're 2/3 of the way through the game, is what you're saying.
I guess. I don't know. I thought I might have, like...
And the broadcast is decently far along, but the end of the game, you are on a different...
Oh, I know. Planet. I just did the one where you have to... where Kerrigan's trying to steal the things. What are they called?
The artifacts?
Yeah. So, that's where I'm at
now. You've still got a little bit to go.
Well, at least I finally had some time to put. I put more than like.
I'll tell you. You will know you're at the end game when your in between missions thing is no longer the ship.
Okay, now that's good to know.
Yes, there are 3 missions at the end that are all controlled from that second location.
Okay, well, today was actually the first time that I got to play more than like a half an hour at a time. So
yeah.
What else? Your Shape Fitness Evolved. I still do that maybe 2 or 3 times a week. Today I did the Tai Chi stuff, which was kind of funny. It felt like a doofus in my living room doing Tai Chi poses, but...
You've got to record all this stuff, sir.
You know, the coolest thing about that game for achievement horrors is it really works well with the... what it does is basically you get achievements at calorie counts. So, like, globally. So, like, after you hit... It starts at, like, 200, then, like, 400, 500, 1,000... That like it keeps going up, like your global calorie count are the achievements, so it kind of keeps you motivated to play. I like
it'd be funny if it doled it out, you know, you get 200 points for 200, then 400 points for 400,
yeah,
and then the rest were all 5-point achievements or something.
I gotta say, I really like the kickboxing class in it. They do a real good job of like timing it to the music and stuff, and they do a good job of like teaching you the movement slow and then ramping it up and stuff like that. So it's a good workout, actually. I gotta pick up some light like 3-pound weights to do with it to tone some more, but I'm enjoying it. Let's see, Crackdown 2, the DLC, the Deluge DLC. Started playing that this weekend. It is surprisingly good. Like it's a lot different than I thought it would be. It's oh, yeah. It's kind of like a mix between like it's kind of like a mix between like Mad Moxie's thing from Borderlands and like, you know, a horde mode, because like what they do is actually, you know what it's kind of like, it's kind of like Uncharted 2's siege mode, because it forces you to go from section to section to take on the guys and clear it. So then there's like survival parts of that, but then you might get to a section and you might have to, instead of clearing it, you might have to protect it. So you might have to stay in a section for a certain amount of time. But there's all kind of like combos and points and stuff that fly up on the screen, like all arcade point-like. So you can build up like multipliers and things like that. And using the jump jets in it is just so much fun. And one of the score levels, when you hit it, you get infinite jump jets. So it's just like, it's freaking crazy chaos. So I've been enjoying that. And finally, I've been playing Call of Duty Black Ops, the single player. I don't know. We said this on the first time we attempted to record this, but I'm just having a hard time getting into it. I think the way they structure the game, it kind of jumps around, and they kind of never really let you know your role in everything yet. And I just don't like that method of storytelling. Like I've always liked the Call of Duty stories and settings and the characters and stuff, and I can't get a grip on this one right now, so...
Explosions aren't big enough?
It's got some really cool set pieces. I just did one in Vietnam that was pretty incredible. It's a base that gets under attack by the Vietnamese, and it is pretty intense. It reminds me a bit of Call of Duty 2 with the Normandy invasion mission. It's that kind of difficult, except you're in bunkers and stuff, and there's just tons of stuff going on around. I mean, helicopters flying, napalm being dropped, you know, tanks rolling in, hundreds of guys coming in over hills and through the trees and stuff. It's very impressive. But again, it's just, for me, story-wise and stuff, I'm still not exactly sure what I'm doing other than just killing everything that moves.
I don't think there is anything else you do in a Call of Duty game, Nick.
I guess you're right. I guess there's no box puzzles, is there?
Well, apparently there's a barrel puzzle when you're supposed to kick napalm down a hill or something, and the game never explains how to do it.
Oh, that's exactly the part I'm at.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I've heard a lot of people complaining that you basically, if you're following the scripted sequence, you'll see a guy do what you need to do to one of them.
Oh.
But if you don't follow the scripted sequence, you'll miss it, and the game doesn't give you a prompt otherwise.
Well, basically what it does is it tells you when you get there, like you're on top of this bunker, and you have to take this position that's down at the bottom of this hill. Yeah. And the guy casually, you say, your character says to the guy, it's like, oh, is there napalm in those barrels? He goes, yep. He's, oh, that's good to know. That's all it says. And I've been trying to, like, shoot the barrels and stuff, but that doesn't seem to do anything.
Apparently, you're supposed to knife the barrel.
Okay.
Well, and then you can, you know, interact with it.
Okay, I will have to try that.
I haven't played it myself, but that's what I've been hearing.
That is exactly where I'm at, though, so that's good to know.
Okay. Well, glad to be of service.
All right, I'm done rambling about my playings.
Okay, so I have been playing the other side of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I've dabbled in the multi, but I've been pushing through the story because I was a really big fan of Assassin's Creed 2, and, you know, it was funny because I actually wasn't going to get this game because up until about a week before it came out, I thought there was no single player at all.
Oh, interesting.
They had just been marketing the multiplayer so much that it had really not dawned on me that they were releasing information about it having a single player component.
Uh-huh.
But the single player is absolutely great. It is, if you liked Assassin's Creed 2, you're really going to like this because it's even better. It's got one addition to the core combat. It's got two additions to the core combat. One, if you do a counter kill, it basically turns the combat at that point to Arkham Asylum, where you press a direction and the X button, and you'll just start mass murdering people in one hit. So you'll fluidly string this combo together, and you'll just keep killing guys over and over and over again. And, you know, an indicator will appear over their head when they're going to attack. So if you're in the middle of a counter kill combo, if you hit the R trigger and the X button again, you'll counter kill them and keep your string going. Which is, it's really awesome. But the most awesome addition comes a little ways into the game. You decide that you need to, you know, recruit more assassins to your cause. So you begin by recruiting townspeople to become assassins, and you send them to your lair, and you train them on, like, little, you can send them away on missions and stuff that get you money, and they earn experience and level up and gain weapons and armor and everything just like you would. But if they're not away on a mission, at any time, when you're, you know, near an enemy, you can tap the left bumper, and your army of assassins will spring out of nowhere and just murder the shit out of these guys. So you'll have a guy highlighted, and say he's near Haystack. You hit the left bumper, and your guy will, like, appear and out of the haystack and shank him and drag him in, just like you would if you were in there. They'll, like, sometimes, if there's tall buildings nearby, you'll hit the button and you'll hear the eagles screech, and, like, two or three of them will fall from the sky and assassinate people. If they don't kill everyone, they'll join you in combat like the mercenaries would. And it's just funny as hell, because sometimes the best one I've seen is, there were a few guards in my way, and I didn't want to deal with them, and so I hit the button, and they, like, sprung out of the windows of a building nearby. So the game basically picks somewhere to spawn them that you can't see. So they always they basically give the impression that these guys are with you at all times.
Right.
And if you have enough recruits and you've leveled them up sufficiently, you gain access to an attack called Hail of Arrows, which will be... it calls your entire assassin army to the rooftops, and they all, like, crossbow every guard in sight, no matter how many there are. So it's absolutely amazing. It's worth the price of admission for that.
So you just feel like a total badass, basically.
Oh, you totally, because, you know, Ezio just goes like, and, you know, snaps his fingers, and these guys appear out of nowhere and kill everyone. It's great. And it does a good continuation of the story. I think I'm about halfway through it, and I've probably put 15 hours into the game.
It takes place, like, right after you get to Rome, right?
It takes the story picks up the instant Assassin's Creed 2 ends.
Okay, cool.
Like, you know, Desmond and crew, you know, hop in the truck and run away. And Ezio's still scratching his head at what the F just happened. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you take control, you're in that chamber with Ezio.
Okay.
And he's like, what? And it goes from there. And it works pretty well. It's a good extension. I heard the ending is kind of iffy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ending of the last one was kind of
Yeah,
it breaks your head.
Yeah.
And there's more of those puzzles where you can unlock the truth.
Yeah, I still never finished that in the first one. I think you did, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And just those puzzles are so cool. Like, just having them there is a really fun addition to the game. You know, it's a nice meta layer. Because cool. It lets you pretend that there's this vast conspiracy through the ages, and it involves real historical figures and whatnot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really enjoying it, and you know, I think the improvements it adds to the game make it flow a little quicker. But it's just got the vast amount of stuff you can do. You know, it all boils down to X number of mission types in the end, but there's so many of them across the map, and you're at your leisure to do them if you want. Because, you know, you'll be, like, running across the rooftops toward your next goal, and then all of a sudden a thief will, you know, nab someone's purse and run away. You're like, well, I think I'll go grab that guy. And, oh, over here there's, you know, where I tackled this dude, there's some guards harassing a citizen. Well, if I kill the guards, they'll join my assassin's guild. You know, so it does a really good job of stringing you along and keeping you distracted while you're playing. And as an added bonus, you can pop out of the Animus at any time and run around as Desmond. And there's some fun dialogue choices in there. Like, you find something that, you know, resembles Ezio,
mm-hmm.
and Desmond walks up to it, goes, and says, hey, what's the matter you, Ezio? And then everyone else goes, that's racist. And they get in this 5-minute argument over whether the semantics of it being racist or not.
Oh my god.
It's just, there's a lot of funny stuff like that. But yeah, so it's really good. Definitely check it out when you feel like tackling the single player. And I also, we tried out the challenge mode in Lara Croft.
Right.
And found the online connectivity wanting.
Yeah.
And found that we were too tired to solve the puzzles, and and that game beat us. So, anyway, let's move on, because we've talked about games enough. So, let's talk about more games. And this week, we're going to lead off with a pair of delays and one, you know, assurance that a game isn't canceled. In that Portal 2 was delayed again. This time only to April 18th. I believe.
Yeah. Yes,
April 18th, and Valve released a very fun press release saying that Valve announces the shortest delay in Valve history. You know.
Yeah.
This 2-month slip not only marks the shortest delay in Valve's proud tradition of delays, it represents the approaching convergence of Valve time and real time.
Yeah, that's the good part right there.
Though this convergence spells doom for humanity, it will not affect the new Portal 2 release date. Oh, you cheeky bastards. You know, it's good. You know, it actually spaces things at the front of the year out a bit, because it's already pretty tight there.
Yeah, I think like the February, early March time frame has got a bunch of stuff coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. And Battle Block Theater, which was originally supposed to release this year, has been pushed to 2011. So there's that. And Lionhead assures us that Fable 3 is still coming to PC. And so PC gamers don't panic. Although, I, You know, didn't Fable 2 skip coming out on PC? Or am I completely crazy?
No, it never came. It's, I don't get it. Like, Fable 2 skipped it completely, but Fable 3... And Fable 1 was a PC game.
Yeah, Fable 1 was expanded on the PC. It had that the Lost Chapter stuff.
Yeah.
Then was backported to the Xbox in the Greatest Hits version or whatever.
And I think originally Fable 3 was supposed to be cross-platform play with PC and 360 for co-op.
I guess that will remain to be seen.
Yeah. You
know, I can't imagine many people will still be playing Fable 3 by the time the PC version comes out.
Yeah, I don't know.
We touched on this last time we recorded, but Blizzard put out some job listings indicating that they were hiring for a console version of Diablo 3. And Blizzard clarified this statement by saying, yeah, we're looking at it, but we're not ready to announce anything, so it's nice to want things. And, you know, I can reiterate that Diablo is pretty much the only Blizzard property in its regular form that could work on consoles, because StarCraft II is way too fast and would have to control and play a lot differently to work really well. And people who think WoW would work on console are delusional.
Yeah.
But, you know, Diablo, I'd play that in a heartbeat on console.
Yeah, I mean, and some of the similar games like Sacred 2 and stuff worked pretty well, so...
Yeah. The big stumbling block would be that Blizzard attaches Battle.net to all of their games now, and Microsoft doesn't allow that kind of stuff to be slotted over the top of games. That's Xbox Live's job.
Yeah.
So if it does come out on console, you might see it come out only on PS3. But, you know, we'll see.
You know, the best thing about Battle.net, in my opinion, and I hope this is something that becomes standard on consoles in the next generation, is the cloud-based saving for everything. You know, with me recently rebuilding that PC and stuff, like, I didn't have to worry about transferring my StarCraft 2 saves or anything. Like, I just logged in and everything was there.
You know, what's really great is that if I log in on a friend's computer to play WoW, it remembers all of my key bindings.
Oh, I see. That's great. Yeah.
So like my hotbar arrangement, my key bindings, and everything are intact, and it stores all your macros and stuff too. It's pretty great.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So let's move on and talk about Halo, because we love Halo, and the level cap came off of Halo Reach because the community defeated 117 million of the weekly and daily challenges, which is insane. A lot of people bought that game, but damn.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how many hours get put into that game, and the hardcore really drive that. We talk about Call of Duty and stuff, that franchise, and it is ridiculous the amount stuff that game sells, but the Halo hardcore, I don't know, it's tough to judge which is more hardcore and devoted in terms of time. I think actually, let me see if I can dig it up quickly, but it was Raptor, which, you know, tracks gaming statistics and stuff like that. They had put out a press release that pitted the big games this fall against each other in terms of time played and like hours per day and stuff, and I believe that Halo Reach actually was on top of... here we go. So they called it the first-person shooter battle royale. Is Black Ops on top now? It says, there appears to be a ceiling on how much gameplay an average gamer can digest in a week. How many hours do you think it is in a week that a first-person shooter gets played?
A first-person shooter? Well, I know when I am uninterrupted, I can generally put 25 or 30 hours in a week.
Yeah, they're saying that the average is about 23 hours. It's the top for, you know, again, that's the average. So you got people pulling up and dragging it down. But so it said Black Ops was the leader of the pack when it came to average session length, which is 3 hours and 29 minutes. Halo Reach, though, was king for average total play time on the first day, which was 6.19 hours. So on the first day, people were playing Halo Reach an average of over 6 hours.
Well, you know why? Is because, you know, Call of Duty ends before that mark.
Yeah, yeah. And then they said Modern Warfare 2, though, came out on top for the average total playing time for the first week, which was 23.37 hours. So just over the average of all three of those.
Yeah, it's insane.
They put a little note, said, despite significant marketing hype, neither Medal of Honor nor Battlefield Bad Company 2 were able to achieve the same level of interest from gamers compared to those top three first-person shooters. So basically, two Call of Duties and Halo Reach are driving the rest of the market in terms of first-person shooters on the console.
Yeah, I think in the case of Bad Company 2, the people who like Battlefield are like they're a super hardcore niche, right?
Because, yeah.
You know, Battlefield is enormous on the PC, but it's not quite so on the consoles because, you know, the Battlefield 2 versions that came out were neutered, and Bad Company is kind of the console product. So, you know.
Interesting. It said on here they have the unit sales first 5 days, and basically all three of those games, Modern Warfare 2, Call of Duty Black Ops, and Halo Reach, were all about 5.5 million. That is a lot of people playing.
Yeah.
So
that's insane. So yeah, you've got, you know, the opportunity to waste many tens or hundreds of hours more unlocking all the crap in the armory now. And attempting to get all the way up to Lieutenant Colonel to get that achievement. Because ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch, I am but a lowly warrant officer. I forget if I'm the first level or level 1 or level 2 or whatever, but I put a lot of time in that game, and I'm down there, so blah. Let's talk about DJ Hero 2 for a minute. For some dumb reason, they decided when they released 2 that it would be incompatible with the existing DLC. But rest assured, Activision released a patch to fix that.
Yay.
So, you know, you can play that old DLC again and feel really good about yourself, but not so good because there's no Daft Punk in DJ Hero 2.
Yeah, and you can't import DJ Hero 1's soundtrack in terms of what was on the disc.
Well, you gotta think that the licensing for mashups has gotta be insane.
Yeah, I don't even know how they manage something like that, so...
Yeah. And let's talk a bit about Call of Duty Black Ops. In that it had the biggest launch of anything ever. Anything ever. That's quite a statement, but I guess when you pull in a ton of money.
Yeah.
Was it $360 million?
Yeah.
In one day? In only two territories?
Yeah.
That's a lot of effing money. And the fact that it dwarfs Halo Reach, which had a mere $200 million on its launch day.
Yeah.
That's sick. But a lot of people like Call of Duty, and apparently the only people that give a crap about the Treyarch versus Infinity Ward bit are people in our position who are in the know.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough call, though, now, because of everything that's happened. You know, it was always that this Call of Duty was the off-year Call of Duty,
yeah.
Because it was Treyarch's. But with what happened with Infinity Ward and stuff, I think a lot of people kind of looked down on Modern Warfare 2. I was talking to some of the folks that were playing some multiplayer Black Ops the other night and asked them what they thought of it, and most of them like really thought that Modern Warfare 2's was unbalanced, and that was why I never really played it. I thought it was. If you were good, if you played longer and unlocked stuff, you basically stayed on top longer. And
yeah,
you know, like they were saying, like one of the things that they fixed, Treyarch fixed, was the kill streaks in Modern Warfare 2. You could get a kill streak, and if you call it an airstrike, and then your airstrike got enough kills, you basically get another kill streak right away. And
yeah.
So it was that person was just very unbalanced and powerful, and now.
And there was also a death streak in Modern Warfare 2, right? If you kept dying, you would also get a power.
Yeah, right. You had a choice of, you could, like, steal the other person's weapons or something like that. But basically, Treyarch had fixed the killstreak thing, so basically you can't get kills towards your killstreak if you're using a, you know, killstreak power-up. But anyway, long story short, a lot of them seemed to think that the Black Ops multiplayer was a lot more balanced experience, and Modern Warfare 2 had left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. So,
Yeah, but Treyarch still has apparently a bit of bloodlust towards dogs.
Oh, yeah.
They put those stupid dogs back in.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Hooray. And going in with this, the rumor of the next Call of Duty is that it will be in space, or use Space Marines, or have space in the title, or you hit the space bar to jump. I really don't know why this rumor keeps popping up, because...
Because it's true.
It might be true. It might not be true.
And it's going to be... what's the new Visceral... Sledgehammer Games.
Yeah.
Most likely it's going to be their Call of Duty game.
So, you know, I think people are putting things together just because Sledgehammer is made up of people that worked on Dead Space.
Yeah, well, the one
they're,
thing
they're
that...
saying that, oh, well, obviously this is going to be taking place on a mining ship.
Now, here's the one thing, though, that they said when Sledgehammer talked about that they were working on a Call of Duty title was it wasn't necessarily going to be a traditional first-person shooter.
Okay, third person, great.
Remember what... I'm trying to think exactly the terminology that came out. It was actually something Lauren had in an interview with Glenn Schofield over on Colony of Gamers, and he was talking a bit about it. It wasn't necessarily going to be a traditional Call of Duty game, because basically, well, Infinity Ward was in shambles, right?
Yeah.
Since they lost a lot of their people. So there's almost no way that it can be them turning out a Call of Duty game this year that fast. So it almost has to be Sledgehammer. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. The picture, I guess, Kat posted with the article was one from Starship Troopers. So I can get on board with something like that.
Yeah, I believe I said last time that I was going to name my character Johnny Rico and just start screaming quotes from Starship Troopers in the mic, because that would be corny and dumb and awesome at the same time.
Would you like to know more?
I would like to know more, because service guarantees citizenship. And wrapping up the Call of Duty talk, Treyarch patched the crap out of the PC and console version of... Black Ops to eliminate as many cheaters as possible.
Did you see, like, the first or second day Black Ops was out, and, you know, people, of course, found all the glitches and stuff right away.
Of course.
And Treyarch is like, they're a bunch of douchebags. It's like, they, like, probably, that was, like, the statement they put out. It's like, do you care to comment on, you know, cheaters and bugs in your game? Yeah, cheaters are douchebags.
Yeah, I remember when Modern Warfare 2 came out, there were a lot of really easy to... activate exploits that were coming out, so it's no surprise that a multiplayer centric game that has like 80 million people playing it at once will have bugs and exploits exposed. So yeah. And you know what's hot?
No, I don't, Mike. What is hot?
Double Lego action.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. You know, we're earning our explicit tag today.
Double but, Lego.
What does it mean? Yeah, to the surprise of, well, I don't think anyone could possibly be surprised when a pair of new LEGO games are announced, especially when one of them is LEGO Star Wars 3, which draws upon the really crappy Clone Wars cartoon universe, you know, the CG universe, pardon me, the 2D animated Clone Wars was awesome. The 3D animated Clone Wars is an abortion, and there is a game based on that, which I could care less about, because LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean is coming out next May, and I don't know why I keep getting excited for these random LEGO properties, but LEGO Pirates were a huge part of my childhood. The pirate set was like the set, and to have a game... Sure, it's based on a movie, but you know they're going to use the pirate set in that game. It's going to be great.
As long as they have the LEGO pirate ship battles with the you know, the cannons and stuff, and they blow the ships apart in chunks of Legos, I'll be happy.
And as long as they use the custom parrot piece, which I had like 80 of for some reason.
I remember that little parrot.
Yeah. I was like, I'd be sorting through my space set, and that damn parrot would be in there. Just because he's so small and easily mixed up.
Yeah, I remember that little guy.
So we talked a bit about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood earlier, and we got a bit of an honest article from from Ubisoft saying that the reason that that co-op didn't exist is they simply lacked time and resources, considering that they took a little less than a year to put that game together. And it's really nice to have a developer say, "Yeah, we couldn't fit it in."
Yeah, they didn't say whether that excuse.
See, the thing is, there's only a couple reasons I will accept for not putting co-op in a game. And Infinity Ward, if you're listening, to keep the single player experience intact is not an excuse I will accept, because you know what? Halo does it, and Halo does it just fine, and they don't care that, you know, Master Chief clone number 2 is in the background of the scene. They don't care if you have a big set piece coming up. If someone's lagging behind and someone's triggering the next set piece, guess what? Everybody else gets dragged the F up to the set piece.
Yeah.
And it triggers, and everyone sees it and says, "Yay."
Yep.
So there's that. You know, if you don't have the time to do it, that's perfectly fine, you know. And the other reason I will accept is, although I won't think very highly of the developers, that they just didn't want to.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, there's definitely games out there that are single-player games. I can think of, like, some of the Prince of Persia titles and things like that. I mean, those are, you know, games that are designed to be single-player.
But Assassin's Creed would actually, it's kind of that style of game, but I really feel that most of the content would work really well in a co-op setting, and they certainly are leaving it open with the roving assassination squad you get into.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing, like, coming up to it, everyone was confused as to whether or not it was a co-op game. I mean, yeah. The freaking title, Brotherhood, everyone's like, "Oh my god, co-op Assassin's Creed." You know, they talked about multiplayer and stuff, but it wasn't until, I think, well into E3 that we finally realized it was actually a single-player/multiplayer versus title.
Yeah.
So I think it was Kat that had posted the article, the video. The way it was marketed, it marketed it like a co-op title, you know, working with your brotherhood and this and that, and
yeah.
So
you do work with your brotherhood,
yeah,
and it is an integral part of the title, but you know, they just didn't have time to implement co-op, and I'm okay with that. And if you really think about it, the way the story conceit is that you're this one chosen one guy who has to deal with all of his awesome ancestors, and to add someone else to the mix would, you know, they either have to cook up someone who's just as special that had ancestors that lived, you know, in close proximity to one another, or they would have to, you know, maybe go off the conceit the multiplayer uses and say that someone is trained to go into the same period.
Yeah.
But it certainly wouldn't be as interesting to have Desmond being, all Nolan Northy and whatnot, and then just to have some scrub tagging along.
I still think the ideal game for one that's, you know, similar to Assassin's Creed is like a co-op Hitman kind of a game, where you have three or four or five. Basically, we played Monaco, right, which was the thief thing. Take that concept, but make it you have a target, and the people have to use their skills to bring down that target and stuff like that. And I think that could be really, really, you know, intriguing.
What about something like Thief?
Yeah, Thief would work too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, the you know, distraction, sleight of hand, setup type stuff in that game would work really well in co-op. Oh man, now I really want that game.
Just a spy game, I think, in general, is a very good setting for a co-op experience that really unique.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping that Alpha Protocol would have some co-op, but
yeah.
Well, we all know how that turned out.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we're going to wrap up our news by talking about how Harmonix is up for sale and how sad that is. But, you know, the music games are not exactly flying off shelves. I think I saw something like, did you see the sales numbers for Rock Band 3?
Yeah, they were pretty abysmal.
They were Valkyria Chronicles level. I saw a first week, I think it's first weekend sale of like 33,000.
Yeah.
Or something. It was really bad. But I think, you know, in the case of Rock Band, they really shot themselves in the foot, because a lot of people bought Rock Band 2, and then they pumped so much content into it that people really don't need Rock Band 3, because they have like 800 hours of songs to play through. Yeah.
Unless you want to do the instrument thing, like the real instrument thing that it offers, there's no reason to get it, really.
And the market for the real instrument stuff, as awesome as the feature is, and how they apparently pulled it off completely, is great, but you're talking like, I'd say less than 1% of people are honestly going to give that stuff a shot.
Yeah, because it's a pretty big investment, if you, especially for the guitar piece. You know, if you want to get one of those guitars, it's at least $150. And that's for the button one. And if you want to get the really fancy one, I think
it's like $300, and it's not even out yet.
Yeah. So the keyboard's not so bad. It's not too bad of an investment, but I don't think it has the same appeal as the guitar does. And I mean, I guess the drums kind of work. You only need the cymbals to add on to that, and that's not much of an investment, but still.
I think they're in a bad place, because you look at the music market right now, and Harmonix was sold for like $175 million when Viacom bought them.
Yeah.
And I guarantee they're not worth that now. And they're going to, you know, they'll probably get sold and have to lay off a good chunk of that company. I don't see it working. I can instantly see someone buying them, because it's a great name. Harmonix has a lot of weight to it. But to bring out, you know, to bring their entire staff over, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I don't think they actually have that big of a group of people.
I'm thinking it could be that Harmonix in name only, and Alex Rigopoulos, you know, ends up working out of someone's, you know, closet, making Amplitude sequels for iPhone.
Yeah, well, I think we said this on the last time we recorded this podcast, was that they probably would do well as like an Xbox Live Arcade, PSN kind of titles. Right. Put out some smaller, more focused kind of a thing that, you know, they're music based, but maybe a little bit different. Like you said, maybe not even go back to their Amplitude core, but I don't know. There's been a couple of unique kind of platform-based music games and stuff like that. And even look at like what Ska Studios did with the name of the games, the Dishwasher game.
Dishwasher.
Where it had the little guitar.
You're saying bring Harmonix in to program the 5-minute sequence in that game?
Well, no, but I'm saying that you can work music into other small genres like that. You know, it's worth the risk on an arcade game to do something like that.
I'll tell you who should have brought them in is Sony Santa Monica, because there is a Guitar Hero puzzle in God of War 3.
Oh, jeez.
And it's kind of poorly put together.
I still haven't played that. I know I have your copy, and I still have not played.
I've been looking in our what you've been playings for a while to see any trace of your interest in that game.
I tell you, I do want to. Well, the problem is I have God of War 2, a save somewhere in that towards the end, and I just need to like sit down one day and wrap that up, and then.
Hey, spoilers! Kratos kills everyone.
Oh my god!
You can play 3.
Yeah, I should. I should just friggin' play it. December. I'm really looking forward to December, because okay, now our releases have calmed down. I've got a good stack of games I want to play, and I think I can finally just like get through them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to when things die down. So, because on my list of shame this year is I will finish Red Dead Redemption by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's one of my goals as well.
Yeah, because I haven't played it. And I'm pretty far in, but I'm not near the end. And all this DLC came out, and it just, I couldn't keep up with it. You know, it was that game came out right after my daughter was born, so my gaming time was way down. And yeah. So anyway, last time we tried to do a Kinect versus Move review, and Nick really didn't feel like that was a really good comparison. Just because of how different they are. So if you want to, you know, go ahead and just kind of wrap up, you know, your thoughts on Kinect, since you're, I believe, the only staff member that, you know, has one.
Yeah, I think so. I know Mark's wife actually has been kind of bugging him to pick one up, so I think he's going to, but I don't suspect anybody else will actually snag
it. I'll pick it up when it's $50.
Yeah, you know, it's $150 is a pretty big investment for what it is right now. I mean, it is definitely targeted at the family gaming. It is Microsoft's Wii clone, basically, but with doing something totally different, you know. But the goal of it is the same. They get the families in the living room playing together. And for all intents and purposes, it's done a really good job of that. And they've marketed that very, very well. You saw it on Oprah, on Ellen, you know, on all these big, like, daytime things. And we've seen a lot of casual gamers and non-gamers and stuff talking about it and interested in it. And the games that they chose to release at launch are targeted really well at them. So on that, they succeeded really well. It did a really good job, but you know, for me personally, as someone that, you know, doesn't do that kind of gaming all that much, my Wii has been packed away since I moved out of my old house in March, and it has not been unboxed yet. So I don't know. My biggest complaint I had with Kinect, you know, and I've had it for quite some time. I think I got my unit in September, early August, doing the beta testing for it and stuff. It has always been, it's been kind of finicky in that the space requirements for it are pretty tight. And I gotta say, the biggest thing is, and I'm a pretty tall guy, you know, I'm 6 foot, 6'1". So for me, the space requirements are different than, say, your average housewife that's, you know, 5'4" or 5'5". For Jamie, she has no problem with it, you know, when it's at like 3 feet off the ground of detecting her when she raises her arms up. For me, I raise my arms up and my elbows get chopped off. You know, so games that are relying on your hands for feedback or whatever, sometimes I it gets lost. And especially like I said earlier in the show, I was playing a lot of Your Shape. I cannot get that to work accurately when I am standing directly in front of it. And it's from my TV stand where the Kinect is until to my couch is exactly 8 feet. And that's not enough room for Your Shape for me. I have to kind of angle it and go across my living room diagonally to get enough room for it to pick up the whole thing. And then when you add two players to the mix, it's even, you know, it's tighter. It's a tighter space, and there's lots of videos around of people freaking elbowing their friends, and you know, the Kinect ouches that we've been seeing. People slapping ceiling fans when they're trying to spike a volleyball. and I actually today when I was doing Your Shape, I accidentally kicked the dog. He got in the way.
I bet Huxley really loved you.
Yeah,
for that.
I didn't kick him too hard, but yeah, he got right in the path, and I kicked him. But yeah, so the launch titles, for me, they just don't do it, with the exception of Your Shape and Dance Central, which really, I think, show the strength of the platform and how it can detect your entire body and specifics of your body, too. Like, for instance, in Your Shape, I was doing the Tai Chi stuff today, and the Tai Chi poses are all about, like, how, you know, how you're formed, and you can see it shows your bone structure and whether you match up to the pose you're supposed to do, and it gives you, you know, the little green thumbs up basically that you're doing it correctly. So that part is pretty amazing. And just the fact that it can, like in Your Shape too, when you first start it, it measures your body, and you can see it measures your legs to your hips and your arms and your shoulder width and stuff, and it just does that by looking at you. And that whole thing, it's really an amazing piece of technology. And we had talked about this before, but the people that are doing some of the hacked Kinect stuff with the open source drivers, and they're doing some really cool things. Somebody basically put together a real-time 3D camera where he can, you know, it has a Kinect sitting there, and he can rotate the video in real time to kind of get a picture of what the room looks like and stuff. And
we are one step closer to the machine in Blade Runner.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a really cool one I saw that was a little bit simpler, was Kinect Shadow Puppets. And basically what the person did is they put their hand out in a certain shape, and it made a projection of a puppet. In this case, it was like a head of a bird. And depending on how they actually move their fingers and stuff, they could get the bird to do different things. So, like, in most of the Kinect games, it doesn't detect your fingers and stuff, but that shows that it does have the capability and the resolution to detect that.
So yeah, it's a very impressive piece of technology. As for what it is now, for me, it's just, it's not quite there. I definitely don't think it's worth the $150, like you said. Moving forward, I'm anxious to see some of the mixed hybrid stuff that it does. You know, using a controller and using Kinect at the same time to do some things could be potentially awesome. One thing I didn't even touch on was the dashboard navigation with it. Definitely, I think it's a step down for anybody that's used to using the controller, because it takes longer to confirm things. You have to hold your hand over stuff for a few seconds.
It just, yeah, and we went over the fact that it can sense depth, so why can't you just, like, slap your hand forward?
Right, yeah, basically, like, push it. So, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's disappointing on some levels, but I think it's exactly what Microsoft wanted. And from all the sales numbers and stuff we've seen, they're well on their way to selling their 5 million units this holiday.
We all know a whole ton of people bought Wiis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess I think actually their timing's pretty good too, and that the Wii has dropped off quite a bit, and people might be looking for something new. I think if they would have released like a year after the Wii, or even 2 years, it might have been a little bit different. People might have still just been like, "Well, why do I really need that?"
Yeah.
So yeah, I think my review on the site, I gave it like a 2.5, right in the middle. I thought, for what it is, it's pretty decent. There's a few quirks, but we'll see. It's $150 is a tough sell. I mean, I think the bundle with the Xbox is like $300, so it saves you like $50. That's,
yeah, but then you gotta buy like a hard drive or something.
Right?
The 4 gig.
It's only the 4 gig. So yeah, I don't know.
They're not really passing the savings on to you, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, basically, the way they save money with that bundle is they don't include the AC adapter with the Kinect, because if you buy the Kinect by itself and you have an old Xbox, you need an AC adapter for it, because it's got like a motor and stuff in it. But the new Xbox, it uses basically, I think it's like a double USB cable with a proprietary connector on the back of the Xbox 360.
Yeah. Well, I was reading a tech readout, and apparently that USB caps out at like 8 watts of power throughput, and Kinect needs like 9.
Yeah, well, I think it's, I don't know the wattage, but I know USB has a 5 volt dedicated line on it, because I've made some LED powered things using a USB cable and stuff, and that was what I had to use. So
yeah, that's Kinect. And yeah, I'm definitely not getting one until I have a compelling reason to. Because, you know, sometimes we'll get things because they're new and shiny and we need to review them for the site, but Nick has had that thing forever, so no one felt compelled to buy one as well.
There was one thing I forgot that might compel some people to buy, is that if you do have a wife or a girlfriend and you do get Dance Central, it is a good thing to just kind of sit there and let them dance and shake their booty.
And we know a little too much about Nick's perversions now.
Hey, what? I've seen a lot of people post that same thing. It's just like the hula hoop girl with the Wii Fit.
Except that was marketing.
Was it?
Yeah. It was a marketing firm that put that out unsolicited.
Yeah.
She did have a nice ass, though. Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on and wrap this mother up, because we're approaching our hour mark. And, let you know that, with the exception of Donkey Kong Country Returns coming out today as we record this, there are no upcoming co-op releases on our calendar worth mentioning, or at all.
Yeah, I did fix the calendar, by the way.
Yeah, I saw.
It's 100% functional now.
Yes. So, being a loyal listener / reader of Co-Optimus and our podcast, you will know that we have a ton of reviews and features at all times, and this time of year is the time when everything comes out and we put out about 10 times as much content as we normally do. And we had reviews for the following games: Time Crisis Rising Storm, the Kinect hardware and most of its games, Rock Band 3, Def Jam Rap Star, Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Tag Team, Call of Duty Black Ops, or COD Blops, as I like to read people abbreviate it. Plants vs. Zombies. Again, I had this problem last week. Plants vs. Zombies for Xbox Live Arcade. The Undergarden, or the Untergarden, as I like to think of it. Fist of the North Star, Ken's Rage, and Apache Air Assault. We had a bunch of editorials and features, such as our Magicka interview with Shams Georgiani of Paradox Interactive. Two episodes of On the Download for Halloween games, and deciding, you know, what to keep on your hard drive as far as downloadable games as you run out of space. A co-op community voice called Games Saved My Sanity. Co-op classics for Ninja Baseball Batman. MMO co-opportunities for Final Fantasy XI, and a Battlefield report for 007 Bloodstone. And, you know, Bazaar is not doing well now either.
Yeah.
That made me very sad, because Blur was great. Anyway, you should buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store, because they're soft and they look good. And, yeah. I could talk about rubbing nipples, but I think we agreed that goes against our restraining order. So you should leave some feedback for us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at CoOptimist without the dash. And, you know, we have this Google Voice account, and either Nick is, you know, bogarting all these voicemails or no one's calling. So the number for that is 646-926-6748. And I believe we determined last time that from Skype or a Google... another Google Voice account, you shouldn't be paying any money in case of an international phone call.
Call us, we'll make it worth your while.
Call us, Nick will cyber you at the same time.
Whoa, no, I didn't say that.
Well, I did. Okay. And that's a promise I intend to keep. So yeah, we will see you in whatever the release window is for our next podcast. Hopefully we won't lose another one.
Yes.
Yes. Goodbye.